Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Core is brought to you by
Dingleberries. Children everywhere love dingleberries. Dingleberries are a nutritious part of a balanced breakfast and only contain an amount of rat feces below an acceptable level according to Canada's food health and safety regulations. Dingleberries do not contain any actual human fecal matter, because that would be gross. Dingleberries. Ask your local grocer about our dingleberry cereal today.
All right, I gotta know when you made that. When did you make that?
It's like 5 years ago or something like that.
How come
I threw on the core part today.
Oh, okay.
So, I was perusing the crates, old stuff I put. I'm like, what is this?
So it wasn't even made for the show. You just made something weird once and then forgot you had it.
I think before we started core and before, you know, There Will Be Dungeons, I did that humble little show, Good, Bad, or Bullshit.
Yeah.
And it was just me and my buddies and, you know, 10 or 20 listeners.
Yeah.
And I was like, someday we'll get advertisers, so why don't I put advertisements that are fake so that advertisers will understand that this is the advertising part, and it could be them with the real advertisement.
I see.
And then I never ended up using it because it's weird.
Yeah.
I found it today.
All right. Look, I'm happy to relive weird things that fell on the cutting room floor here on this show. I'm sure we all have
to imagine that boardroom where they're like, folks, we got a podcast.
Yeah,
instead of the bit about Dingleberry, imagine them talking about our product.
Right? Finally, we have an excuse to move forward with this year's fiscal plans.
Seriously, guys, buy some Dingleberries. They're great.
All right. I'm in on your plan to get some Dingleberries. No, I don't want any Dingleberries. What am I saying that for? I don't want those. They sound gross. Anyway, hey, welcome to Core, everybody. This is Core. It is July 29th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. It's Wednesday. That means we're doing a show. We're going to dive right in. All right. By the way, quick reminder, if you want to get a bunch of pre-show nonsense, we record a whole bunch of other stuff every week right before we record, and that's up on our Patreon at patreon.com/core. Look for that going up every day that we put up a show.
And today's one was exceptionally solid.
It was
for many reasons.
Pretty good. It was pretty good.
A lot of good stuff there.
I agree. All right, we're going to dive into some stories to begin the proceedings today. So, did we all see this Xbox event? I know I watched it after the fact. I couldn't. It was live during my morning show, so I couldn't see it live. So I watched
it
all later.
After the fact as well.
Okay, I watched it though as if it was happening in real time, which is kind of fun to do. Like I didn't. I stayed unspoiled on any announcements. I didn't know what was coming. And not that there's, you know, it's not much spoilery about what we saw, really. Not really. But overall, I have to say, I had a pretty positive response to the Xbox stream. And I think it's because we finally got to see Microsoft's focus on what they're going to do from a first-party perspective, what all of these studio acquisitions might bring to the platform. So we saw a couple of games announced and one even out already from Obsidian Entertainment. We got a look at the new Rare game. We got a look at all of these properties they've been hinting at for a while. And I think we finally kind of know at least the initial strategy for the kind of content they're going to put out as first party content. Of course, they showed Halo Infinite in a tiny infantile way. Not infantile. That's not the word. Minuscule. It wasn't a lot. Let's say it that way. They started it off. You got a little Master Chief hanging out with some Russian guy. Hilarity ensues, and then he goes shooting.
Russian?
I don't know what he was. What was he? He was some.
I don't think Russian, but he was something.
He was something like that. There was some bit of story I didn't quite get. Apparently, that whole bit takes place about halfway through the campaign, according to Microsoft after the fact. So that wasn't like the intro or anything. But then he goes and shoots.
A grappling hook now.
It's got a grappling hook. It's supposed to be an open world now. Whatever that means, we don't know really exactly yet. Some people have complained, and this is the thing I want to get to. Some people are complaining that Halo Infinite's graphics look bad, and I don't know where they're getting that from. I think they look like Halo, but really high fidelity, far distance viewing, nice polygon count, nice shadows, nice lighting effects Halo.
Yeah, I saw a lot of this too, and I saw a lot of, you know, hey, here's a look at, you know, Halo Reach or, you know, Halo 3, and here it is compared to, or Halo 4 even, here it is compared to Halo Infinite, and it's different, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see a little more bloom on the weapons and a little bit more effects. There's more of a kind of a matte feel to things in the new one, but I don't think it's a bad look. It's just a different look.
Yeah.
I didn't look at it and go, the next generation is here.
No.
I didn't do that. But I also didn't look at it and go, oh, God, my eyes, I'm going to die. It's so ugly.
Yeah, it's not
fine.
It's not ugly at all. But it definitely, you know, if you're looking for the Halo art style, it's here. Like, this is it. Like, this is what Halo looks like. The planets tend to look like this. The greenery looks like this. His weapons kind of look like this. They always sort of have. This is just a kind of a next step for that. But you're right. I didn't see it and go, my mind wasn't blown in terms of, you know, the way it was with that, like that Epic Unreal demo was pretty good. You know, you didn't see a lot of that here, but
now that said, in what might be a statement that proves dangerous and going to bite them in the butt, from this Games Radar article, the Xbox marketing boss Aaron Greenberg said what we saw was a work in progress demo, and the final product will be a visual showcase.
Okay.
That seems dangerous to make that statement.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the graphics are going to radically... I don't think they're going to go nuts with it. I think it's going to probably look a lot like that. Maybe it'll change a little bit, but I think it's probably going to look a lot like that.
Plus, you're only a few months away from release. So yeah. They don't have a whole bunch of... this can't be just work in progress in terms of, like, we're not near done, because they better be near done. Because that game's coming out, right? I think it looks fine. It's immediately Halo to me. Like, it's just immediately like, oh, those are those stupid guys that giggle when you shoot them or whatever they do. I hate those guys. Oh, here's some guys with shields. Okay, I remember killing those before. Here's a Warthog. Remember that thing? Although the physics look pretty meaty on that. I think that looked pretty good. But, you know, it's Halo. I don't know why people are expecting something different than that. But it looks like a Halo game in a big space, and if this is truly an open world game and you're kind of questing all over the place and, you know, doing that sort of stuff, I'm sort of in on that. He's got a, like you said, a grappling hook, and that's cool. You know, traversal stuff and all that. Yes, Bo, you're gonna say something?
It looks like they're mixed. I'm watching it now, the gameplay footage.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it before, but it kind of reminds me, if they cross-pollinate it with some established game genres, because Halo's already pretty cool, but if they make it a bit like Borderlands and a bit like, what's the other game that's coming to mind that they could really, it really looks like they might be doing?
Far Cry.
Far Cry maybe? Yeah, or not
well,
Far Cry?
Well, yeah, more of like a Metroidvania. Like, you have to get the grappling hook to access these areas kind of thing. Like,
oh, I see.
I guess, like, make it a bit Metroidvania-y, and then make it kind of Borderlands-y too, you know, with this open world, get quests, do things in certain areas, invite your friends for co-op. Was that mentioned at all?
They didn't talk about co-op, but I believe it is. I think they said co-op at some point, but they didn't really talk about that in this event.
It doesn't need to have co-op. I just mean, you know, the general notion, when you have an open world like this, it's fun to play with people, but
right.
You know, it is an action shooter game, kind of in the maybe of the vein of Doom Eternal. I'm watching it now. I don't see a lot of that kind of mechanics maybe there's a little bit. They got guys with shields.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I think the graphics look great. I don't understand that criticism.
Oh, the grappling hook's awesome. That's like Bulletstorm, man.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the weapons aren't glowing with visual radiance, which is a lot of what I saw in the comparison screenshots, is fine. Turns out they don't do that in real life, actually.
Right.
Like, I actually kind of like the flat lighting feel of a lot of this. I think that it gives it a texture that I enjoy. It does have a slight quality, just a slight one, of almost like I'm watching little models run around. I don't know where that's coming from necessarily, but I think the game looks fine. And if it's a big open world, then this is pretty impressive for a big.
Yeah, I'm going to call it now. I'm looking at this and I want to play it.
Yeah, like, see? There you go.
Yeah, this looks like it looks kind of like a rebranding or like a marking a new era for the game, like a good entry point perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, I care more that the game is fun than it's graphically intense. Like, you know, you can have it does there's nothing here that makes me react poorly. So I'm kind of into it. I'm listening with sound off. I don't even know what's going on. I'm watching double speed and everything, but like, it looks like the shooting, the grappling arm is this being like critically kind of panned or well, mid?
Some, I mean, here's the problem. It's Halo, right? It's like one of the most legendary game series of all time. So I feel like you're screwed no matter what you do. First of all, you're not Bungie or 343 Studios, whatever they're called. They're capable of making a good Halo game, but 5 was kind of universally not liked by a lot of the fan base. It was a fine game, but I think it just was just normal Halo and that wasn't enough for people anymore. I don't think the fans really know what they want. I hope Microsoft delivers something that surprises everybody. You mentioned Doom, like the 2016 Doom was a great surprise. Like nobody expected that to be what it turned out to be. And that's great. Like that, when a game can do that, man, it's just such an exciting thing. It'd be great if this game made us all feel that way about Halo. Master Chief is back, so he's the focus of this campaign. A true campaign is back. The multiplayer stuff, while they haven't detailed a lot of it, could be super interesting. This will be the first one that's launched day and date on PC, so everybody with beefy PCs will be playing this. Part of the PC Game Pass even, so you're going to be playing it for cheap. Like, no brainer to me. I'm playing the hell out of this.
Yeah, it looks good.
Fine.
By the way, this bad guy is played by Reinhardt, voice actor Darren DePaul.
Really?
Yeah, that's Darren DePaul in there. I thought it was the guy who did Garage Hell Scream because it sounded really reminiscent of that. In fact, I'll play a little here. Hold on.
It'll probably
be. But it wasn't.
Yeah, see?
We are one step ahead.
So you kind of hear the whole.
There, I heard the Reinhardt. Now that you've told me to listen for it, I heard it very much.
You can kind of hear it now.
He starts yelling.
Yeah, it looks great. I don't know what people's problem is, and I haven't been a Halo. I haven't played Halo since 3. Well, no, that's not true. I played 3, ODST, and Reach, but all the 4 and 5 totally missed me. Didn't play either one.
I gave up on 4. I was really bummed that 4 decided to. They had completely tied up the story in 3. They were done, and then 4 was like, I don't know. What if you fight the Covenant again? But there's other aliens too, and it lost me at that point. This game seems intentionally like it knows that it's going for a nostalgic thing, and I'm a little more okay with that. It seems to be telling a story about these beings that are stranded on this ring, and they've kind of bound together, and that at least makes more sense to me than the war's over, but you're going to keep fighting the same bad guys you were always fighting.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think it's going to be cool. And, you know, we'll see if they're saying like, oh, this is an early version. It's going to be a visual powerhouse. Then, OK, I think that's a dangerous statement to make, though. I think it opens the comparison. You know, we saw people do that with frickin' Puddles in Spider-Man. You know, maybe just let people judge for themselves when it comes out. Yeah. And don't say anything.
Yeah, I think it's probably safer on both sides. It's safer to not say anything just from a. Don't make people wonder how far along you are, that you're not done yet, or, you know, this nervousness about it being pushed too fast or crunch or all that. And on the other side of it, don't set expectations so high that people are going to be disappointed no matter what you say. So just let it happen and come out. This game plus a bunch of other stuff they showed kind of did a thing to me in this event. And this is what it is. It's solidified for me this notion that I actually think I'm more excited about what they're doing than what I'm buying. In other words, I don't think I'm going to buy an Xbox Series X.
Right.
I think I'm just going to go nuts with Game Pass, because everything they're doing is going to PC, is going to end up on other platforms. You're going to be able to xCloud stream this stuff with that. That was confirmed, by the way. So that price includes the xCloud streaming service stuff that'll all be coming. So I'll be streaming things to my phone and my tablet and whatever with synced controllers and like all that remote stuff, plus playing these natively on my PC at arguably better resolutions and other stuff, or at least as good as an Xbox Series X can produce. I don't feel that motivated to buy an Xbox. Like, I know that I don't know what their goal was, but that's how it ended up for me. And I'm not saying this in a negative way. I walked away from that event positive on Microsoft, feeling very good about everything they showed, about their focus on first party, along with services and everything else. Like, I think this is some of the best showing they've had since this thing was announced. And I would put it up there with Sony's presentation in terms of presentation. And I walked away feeling a little more positive about it. So I don't know now. I don't know what I want to do.
I know what I want to do, because it didn't sell me on a Series X. I was a little less into the games they showed. I think maybe there were a couple. I don't know, beyond Halo. I don't know if there was really anything that I was like, oh, I have to get that game. I don't know if anything stood out that much to me.
Yeah.
But it's coming to my PC. I'll spend the $60 that they charge for a Xbox Series X controller now, mm-hmm. and refresh my PC controller, and I'll play it there. And I've been having a great time. The amount of times recently where I've gone, yeah, I want to play that game, but I just don't have the money. And I check the Game Pass on my PC and it's there and I can play it. It's happened a lot lately. I continue to feel like paying for that Game Pass has been the best gaming purchase I've done in a long time. Yeah. That thing has paid for itself over and over, and I still feel like I'm taking advantage of Microsoft somehow, which I don't think I am. I think you've said this, Scott, but that's the mark of a great service, is when the consumer feels like, boy, am I getting too much out of this? Mm-hmm. Like,
you can even get it for free if you use Bing.
Well, yeah, Bo found an extra loophole. He doesn't even have to pay for it.
Yeah, I forgot about the Bo Bing thing.
I mean, you have to use Bing. It's kind of hard. I have a lot of, yeah, but
are you still searching with Bing and using Bing, Bo?
No, I put it as a default on my phone, but I don't really do a lot of searches on my phone.
Yeah.
I habitually go to Google. It's hard not to.
I get it. I'm using DuckDuckGo pretty exclusively now. I barely even
I wanted Google to as well. It's habit, man. It's hard to switch.
But now that it's all, every browser supports it as an option now, as your default search engine. So I just switched it and it's easy now. But anyway,
That's all I got to do. Yeah.
But like,
the Game Pass is a good value.
Oh, it's a great value. Like, John, you're talking about, like, both of us played Carrion this week. I'm sure we both ran into the same deal. We saw that game. We were interested in it. It already seemed like a thing we'd like. We noticed it was on Steam and we went, oh, do I want to spend $20 today? Kind of. No, not really. I don't know. Maybe I'll wait and watch it. You know, like, there's all this like him and Han for me. And then I fired up Game Pass. Boop. There it is. Number one thing right there is that I can play Carrion right now on a Game Pass for nothing. Yep. And so I did.
The thing that's going to get you on an Xbox is not what they're showing now. It's what they have planned.
Yeah. Well, for the device itself, you mean?
The Game Pass. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, you mean the device itself or the Game Pass service?
Yeah, I'm getting one. Because right now, like, as I'm watching this, you know, I've perused through this, it's pretty straightforward. We're showing you games. We're just about games.
It was all,
you know,
games, yeah.
Before Xbox was like, we got your soccer and we've got, you know, this and that. But they're working on cloud streaming services very diligently. And they may have plans to integrate that in a way that's going to make you want it. And it's just either not ready to announce it, or they're like, these boxes will be future proof, but like Kinect came out later. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be like, I think, something related to the cloud with this new device. And who knows if the Game Pass is really successful. You know, Netflix took a little while to catch on. I mean, really a short time, but not everyone was doing the Netflix thing right when people were doing it. That spread.
Yeah, it took a while.
And Game Pass, as it gets, because the catalog's just growing, right? They just keep putting brand new, fully fledged games. Then the game sequels come out and people want to go back and play the old ones. And then, you know, in a couple of years, they're going to have a massive library and they'll probably have exclusive offers this is what you get for Game Pass, but if you play Game Pass on your Xbox, you also get X amount of extra features included. And if they become the place to platform that way and that's successful, like Netflix is successful, then they could get a lot of people. They could make you want to buy the box.
Yeah. And it sounds like they have had much in the way of intent to sit down with competitors and get them to accept Xbox apps on their ecosystems that give people Game Pass access to their games via the cloud, via PlayStation, via a Switch. And in an interview with, I don't remember who, anyway, he ended up saying, yeah, we'd really like to push that further and make it playable everywhere. But some of our competitors just don't want us to do it, which is makes sense, right? Like there's no way Sony wants an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate app running on their services on PSN. That would just be weird for them.
They're like, don't buy things in the PlayStation store, boot up the Xbox Game Pass app and play it. But the fact that they're willing to do it, I mean, of course they are. That's, you know, free money for them.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing, but that's what Phil Spencer always said, is he said, we don't really care where you play it. We just want you playing our games.
Yeah.
Or in the case of Game Pass, paying your X number of dollars a month, you know, let's not hit just Xbox consumers with that. Let's hit every gamer with that.
Yeah, and not only that, they have this extended thing where they're like, we'll do that, and how about you guys, like I did this morning on the Frog Pants Daily video, there are people who play games on Steam, and that's all they ever want. That's the ecosystem they want to live in, die in, never leave. And I get it, okay? I totally get why they want to be that way, to the point that even though there's an option for them to go pay $5 a month on the Microsoft Xbox app and play Halo Infinite when it comes out, they would rather spend $69 or whatever it's going to cost to buy the game and have it in the ecosystem they want, which in this case is Steam. Those people are even being serviced now by Microsoft. They're even willing to say, all right, look at this. These games are here. They're over here. They're on that thing. They're on this thing. And oh, they're also on Steam. So play them there. And guess what? They're also on, you know, whatever. They're everywhere that makes sense for them to put them, or that those ecosystem providers want them there. They're there.
Oh, because that will eventually, because even as you're explaining it, I'm like, yep, I'm the guy that's going to spend $70 on Gears 5 and not Xbox Pass. And then as you ended the thought, I'm like, yep, I feel like an idiot. Like, I feel like a pretty big damn moron. So if they do make their games available in two places, one for a high price point and one for a much more tolerable price point, maybe the bet is eventually, as culture shifts, people will slide on over.
I think you're right. And they're getting the money both ways. So we have a story about this coming up, but Obsidian's game Grounded, which is this, they showed it off for the first time at this event, and it's now out in early access in multiple places on Xbox and on PC, I should say. It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but a survival game. So like imagine like the game Rust, but you're a bunch of kids shrunk down to the size of grasshoppers and you're in your backyard.
Oh my God. That sounds hilarious.
It's pretty great. And Obsidian never makes games called? Like this. It's called
Grounded.
Yeah. So it's that out there amazing. Now. And that thing is currently the best selling title on Steam. That's a Microsoft Xbox Studios game on Steam at number one, while it is over on Game Pass for $4. If you're just doing PC and on Ultimate, if you're doing everything, like if you have Game Pass, you already got Grounded, and yet it's still number one on Steam right now.
The same has been true for the Master Chief Collection. Every time they put out a new Halo into that, it's the number one selling thing on Steam for weeks.
Yeah, still on the top 10 right now. It's still in there from 3. And what's the other one? The ship one you played, Sea of Thieves, is on there as well.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves has been killing it on Steam too.
On Steam.
And these are all games that people could go and spend just a monthly fee to play for free, and they're choosing to pay full price on Steam. Like, I think it's smart. I love what Microsoft's doing. I don't think I'll ever buy a Series X, but I think they'll be okay, and I think that that's okay, and I can still love what they're doing. They just don't have the exclusives that I want.
Right.
But that's also works out for me, because then I can, you know, potentially buy a PS5 for the, I got to get my Spider-Man and whatever other thing might happen.
Right, but they may surprise us, right? Like this first batch is early, but it's already very promising. Some of the stuff they showed in there was like, oh, okay, this is like more first party than they've been in years.
Yeah.
And so that may shift. But even if it does, here we are, happy PC owners playing those games for our cheap fee a month. Or we can straight up buy them on that store. Or I can get them on Steam. Or I can xCloud them. Like, there's all these options. I think that's going to, I think that wins the day services wise. Now, I don't, this is not me going, well, that's it. Sony's out of the running. Of course, freaking not. They have a leadership position and likely will moving forward. But all of this stuff that came out from that event just made me wish Sony had more, had similar plans for cross ecosystems and, you know, one price gets a lot of stuff. And the thing is, you could argue Microsoft's in a position that Sony is never in, which is just sit and eat money for as long as you can till your thing works, because they can do that.
Yeah.
Microsoft can just eat this money. It's lost leader stuff that just nom 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 and hope, you know, more and more people get into it while they eat the money. Sony doesn't have those kind of pockets. They just don't, as a corporation, as an overall entity. They don't have as deep of pockets as Microsoft does. So you know, you have to take that part in mind is the reason they can even do this. But it's a bold move, and I'm into it. I think it's exciting.
Yeah, I'm into it, too. Now that, like, just hearing you explain it again, and it just makes more sense. I think I got to move off of Steam and embrace the new world of rent-a-game. It's cheaper.
Tell you, Bo, yeah. The new app that they have, the Xbox app, they just put out a new one. It's good. It's actually pretty good.
Okay, I'm going to download
it. Oh, so much better.
If you say it's good, I'm going to re-download it now.
John's 100% right. It was a slog, and it's in alpha or beta or whatever, so, you know, we can give them some slack. But the latest update, huge improvement.
Easy to find what's new, easy to find what's on Game Pass, easy to have your library. It's pretty darn good.
I'll resubscribe and just play Opus Magnum again.
There you go.
I mean, honestly, in a million years, I would have never played Opus Magnum, and I love that game, and the only reason I got to play it was because of Game Pass. I would never have played Gears 5, and I got to play it because of Game Pass. Yeah. Like, there's so many things like that I wouldn't have experienced because I just... $60 and buying a system to hopefully spend that $60 on just isn't realistic, but giving them that monthly fee, heck yeah. And a lot of those games I really love.
Yeah. I love Gears Tactics a lot. I don't think I'd have played it without it. But if I wanted to, I could have, because it was on Steam too, if I was so stubborn, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you can, it's, and I more and more, I could be wrong. I don't have anything to base this on other than my gut feeling. I think EA saw what Microsoft was doing and gaining from pushing all this stuff to Steam as well as their own ecosystems. I think that's what drove EA to finally go, oh, fine, we'll put everything back. You don't have to come to Origin to get our stuff anymore. I really do think that might have been it, because it was paying off for them. They were in the top five all the time. And you know what? EA's had some games in the top 10 since they came back. So people clearly want these big titles from these big publishers, or even these small games that come from them. Just give them more ways to get it. And right now, Game Pass is just such a value. Oh my gosh. Like, I was skeptical in those early days. I just didn't know what they were doing, but I think it's right. And I don't know. It really swayed me. Everything about that stream swayed me. Now, the games themselves, it wasn't like, oh, these are all the must-haves by any stretch. But if you're
There's
talking
some
about
cool
the value,
stuff, though.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff, though.
Plus, keep in mind, if you're playing Gears 5 over there, let's say, and then you're like, I'm going to let my thing lapse, you can buy Gears 5 at a huge discount now that you've been playing it over there, because you already tried it with Game Pass. They'll offer you like 20% off the game.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's so you can own it forever.
I either didn't notice, or that's new. Like, I probably didn't notice.
I don't think it's new, but it's maybe it's more prominent now, because I've seen a couple of places where... Oh, for example, because some third-party stuff doesn't stay in Game Pass forever. So if a third-party game like Dead Cells comes on there and you play it for months, and then it says, hey, Dead Cells is leaving at the end of April, but so you could buy it now for 20% off, 25% off, or whatever. So you've either had your way with Dead Cells, or you've said, you know what, I'm going to buy that and hang on to it forever. And you can do that. So I don't know. I just like it. I think it's
cool. Yeah. This is, I'm trying to download it and install it now.
It sounds like we're doing a commercial, but honestly, it's just because it's been that good. I'm looking at my list, and two of the things that I'm talking about on what I played today, I only played because of it.
Yeah, same. I think, let's see, Carrion and, no, I think maybe just the one, but I go there whenever, but I am now in this habit of, I hear about a hot new thing coming out on the weekend, Friday's game release or Tuesdays or something. I'm now in the habit of making sure I check Game Pass first, because often it's there, like a lot more often than you'd think. That game that you recommended, Neon Abyss.
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass. My experience was it was on Steam and everything else, and that's where I was probably going to get it. It was on Switch and all this, but it was expensive. You know, it was just going to cost money. But then saw it over there and went, ooh, so now that's part of my equation. Now I look there first. And if I'm lucky, I even get a third-party option there before I have to buy it anywhere else. So anyway, it's pretty cool. They talked a lot about it. If you haven't watched the video, I recommend you do. You might find a game in there that blows your mind. You might not.
Yeah. Well, I was watching it during this for the first time while we were talking. And I got to say, Everwild looks super interesting.
Oh, yeah.
The new Rare game. And so does that Grounded game that you mentioned. I'm like, what? This is amazing.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by Grounded a lot. I want to try that game.
Installed it. Yeah. I have not launched it, but it's in my...
Is it free to play, or is it like a pay... Buy it
it's normally a buy a game, but if you have Game Pass, you just have it. So,
oh yeah. So, all right.
So that and
kind of trying to play less games here, but this is pretty exciting. Xbox says, "Take me to the games."
Yeah.
There's a button here that says, "Take me to the games."
Yeah.
It's like a crack dealer. It's like, you take me. Come on.
They really are. I really feel like this is them going all in on this concept, and I hope it pays off for them, because there's a little teeny part of me, and this is just, you know, because Microsoft has a history, little teeny part of me is worried if it doesn't work out, like it didn't with the Zune, like it didn't with Windows Mobile Phone, like it didn't with other products in the Microsoft lineup, will they just abandon it eventually if we just don't get there? Will they Google out of it? You know what I mean? And by the way, I'm not saying I think they will. I'm saying no company... You there's no way every company everywhere is going to always do exactly what you think they're going to do. So it's possible that this initiative, if it failed miserably, then we're out. I don't know. But I don't think it will. I think this is going to be a good longstanding. I think this is the future of Microsoft gaming is this. For good or for bad, this is it. And I really hope it works out for them. I was going to say,
they'll never rule completely. We're going to have to have those big tentpole games that are, you know, platform agnostic, like Blizzard games and stuff like that.
Oh, of course.
Chat brings up a good one that we haven't had a chance to talk about, but is paramount to all our interests. A new Vermintide-like game in the 40K universe called Darktide.
Darktide. Did you not hear about this, Bo?
Having a heart attack.
They showed it.
Call 911.
They showed it. It's called Darktide. And, well, they didn't really show. They showed a video.
I can't stop breathing so hard. It's making me...
It was great. Oh, this Inquisitor guy is narrating it, and they sent out a bunch of these, like, trash mob emperor troops. You know how they was always, they're just the worst. Yeah. And they sent them to go investigate what's going on in some ship, and they're probably not going to come back, kind of thing. And the ship's full of horrible waves of awful things to kill. And that's where we would come in, because then we'd suit up like freaking blood angels and go in there and just wreak havoc through this freaking Colossus ship barge thing and kill everything. Oh my gosh. Same developers, by the way. So it's the Vermintide people making Darktide.
Oh, it's the Vermintide people? Yeah. The people that are... Yeah. Oh, this is going to be the greatest 40K game ever made.
It very well might be. I mean,
because that's the thing, is every time we played Vermintide, always in the back of my head as we were playing is, yeah, this is cool. Mm-hmm. It would be cooler if it was 40K.
I know, yeah, everything's cooler.
Quit your complaining and quaff that potion, you gullet.
Or whatever it is he
what
said.
Was his name?
I mean, he's
Salt
great.
Spire.
Salt Spire is great, yeah. But you know, if he was in a mech suit, he'd be a little better.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a 40K version of Salt Spire?
I hope they let us get crazy with the classes, because I'd want to see like tech priests. I'd want to see...
Yeah, oh, like, for sure it's going to be role-based, right?
Oh, it'd have to be. It'd have to be.
It's not just going to be... I can see it being like a squad of just regular Space Marines.
Oh, they can't do that. They can't do that.
They can't do that.
If you have the license, you've got a Space Marine, like an Ultra Marine, you've got a Blood Angel, you got a Space Wolf, you got like a...
Yeah, you're a motley crew of different backgrounds.
Yes.
Like that's how Darktide, or not, Vermintide worked.
Exactly.
A motley crew. So yeah, we need a motley crew. And oh my god, that makes me excited.
I know, it looked really good, and it looked dark and dank, and It's so my jam. I'm so excited.
I still wish we played Vermintide a little more, you know, like, because that game is just, it's so much fun to play with you guys.
Yeah. It's really good. But John's right. There was always this feeling in there of like, yeah, the fantasy Warhammer's all right. It's okay. But what I really want are guys in giant freaking mech suits going, Ezekiel, to my left flank. And that kind of bullshit. It's so good. Yeah. Ezekiel, Mordecai, my helmet has told me the Emperor's death is near. We must, like, all that Warhammer 40K bullshit. I want all of it, all the time. Just shower me with it. Ah. All right. There's that.
These people that they're showing in the trailer, who are they? They're not the people you're going to play.
No, no, no. That's part of the little story at the beginning where they sent out a contingent of these soldiers, God. And they had a bad time. So.
Oh, it looks so good.
And the whole idea is that they're going to get wiped out and you're going to have to, now you got to go in and take care of this problem.
Right. In the true space, they call in the Spice Parade.
Spice Parade. And if there aren't some orcs running around with the K spelling.
So then, like, what's great. There's a shot in the teaser trailer where they have all these weird zombies, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a big hulking zombie you can barely make out because of the light in the background.
Oh, yeah.
You just know he has a mask and there's some kind of hose on his shoulder.
Yep.
Oh.
Inquisitor Vellum. Enter the... Oh, my gosh, dude. I cannot wait. Just the talk of those. The language of 40K games is one of my favorite things in the world. Aren't there some new comics coming out, too? I got to look at those. I heard about that. Anyway. Speaking of Grounded, Obsidian is adding an arachnophobia setting. So if you're scared of spiders, then there's a way to tone that down, I guess. Did they explain how they were going to do it?
Good.
Yeah, they did. There's a lot of variance to it. It's not just like I turned on the arachnophobia setting and now they've been replaced by watermelons. Like there's levels of spider. You can decide, is it the hair you don't like? Is it the eyes you don't like? You can tone it down. They realized that, I guess the reaction to the trailer, there were people that were like, I can't deal with a giant spider. I'm very terrified by this.
Oh, so yeah, I can't either, man. So the only reason why I'm thinking about it is because of Deep Rock Galactic.
So they are putting in an arachnophobia settings. You can remove legs, you can remove eyes, you can basically get it down to where it just looks like a little tube monster of orbs coming at you, and it's fine.
Well, this is interesting. It says when this is higher, spiders look and sound less spider-like. Gameplay and difficulty remain unchanged. So you do it lower because it's called arachnophobia safe mode. You go lower, they'll look like the big furry nightmarish spiders that spider people are going to want. I'm totally down. I'm not afraid of spiders, but my wife wouldn't even be able to look at the screen.
I am. They'll have to go off for sure if they freak. I'm just worried. Like in Deep Rock Galactic, I'm okay. So if they look kind of like cuddly and cute, then it should be fine.
Yeah, I'll bet they're closer to that. Like lower, not lower poly count in a bad way, but like a, I don't know, more.
Well, they have some pictures of it in the article.
Let's see.
This was also from a Games Radar article that eliminates some of them. I mean, on the front, you've got one that's a little down. They've removed the multiple eyes. They've removed the hair, which in some ways I actually think makes it look scarier. But then as you scroll down, you can see some options that are a little.
Oh, my God. That's scary.
Here's video.
A little less terrifying.
Yeah, the video shows. Oh, interesting. Oh, they'll look just like a little nubbly bub. Like won't even.
Yeah,
look like
they
a spider.
Look like little. They look like little bubbles at the maximum setting. It's just you're being attacked by a little cream puff with eyes.
Yeah,
at the
that's
end.
That's freaking weird.
Although there's gonna be a new kind of prank to pull on people is to like try and get malware on their system so that it does it at random times in the middle of their game.
Oh man, what a way to troll somebody.
Yeah,
afraid of spiders, are you? Check this out. See. Anyway,
I'm glad though, because I wouldn't. That's a big concern for me.
But I love the fantasy of I'm shrunk down and the world is huge. I love it. Totally on board with that. I've always wished there was more games that played around. Some of my favorite games of past generations, like Micro Machines on the PlayStation 1. It was this mainly because it was polygonal and started to actually look good. The SNES game was okay, but it was, you know, pixely and stuff. But it was a top-down view of you racing little matchbox cars around your house and your backyard and over the kitchen sink. And I love that. I love shrinking the world down in a real world place. I love giant pencils. I have one right here.
I love giant pencils.
It's not that big. It's sort of big. It's just average big. I mean, it's like a, I don't know. It's like a big,
it's a big pencil.
It's a big pencil. And it works, by the way.
You don't have to feel insecure about it. It's plenty big.
That's an actual eraser. That's an actual lead point. It, you can actually use it as a pencil. But what I would really like is one like that. I'd love a big one I can just hug on. I don't know what it is, but I love big ass things that are normally small. And I like the reverse. I like little tiny detailed versions of things that are usually big. So like models and, you know,
like a mini Cybertruck.
Yes. Like that sort of thing. So, that's why I have a big stormtrooper, this guy, and then I have a little one over here.
I think he's a little one too, right?
Well, he's bigger than
that guy's little.
He's little, but he's not that little, right? I've got, wait a minute. Oh yeah. See, here's a clone trooper. No, here's another scout trooper. So here's big scout trooper. He's like old school G.I. Joe size, just a great big, I don't know, what was that? Probably a foot and a half, 18 inches probably. And then I got one of these little guys here, see?
Oh my God, you have the whole family.
Whee! Yeah. It turns out I really like stormtroopers.
They're great.
Of all the Star Wars stuff, it's my favorite of the whole thing. Anyway, there's that. All right. Hey, also there's that big giant Nintendo leak, and they call it the Giga Leak, which sounds gross.
Giga leak.
Yeah, why do they call, hold on. Nintendo Giga leak. Is it
Giga leak?
I thought that was called Giga leak. Hold on. Yeah, Giga leak. That's what they're calling it. Because it was like a gigabyte of data, which doesn't sound like a lot, except it's data from old stuff where nothing was a gigabyte. So it's tons of information. And it's very, very guarded IP stuff, very insider Nintendo. This is not meant for public consumption, but somebody probably internally leaked it, and I know Nintendo's pissed, but in that
there's some amazing stuff in here.
So cool.
Do you think it was like someone got hired and intentionally went looking for it, like played this long con game of several years before we got access?
I don't know, what do you think?
I deserve that.
Yeah. You might be right. You might be right. I don't know. It's possible. That just seemed like
a, I mean, I don't, conspiracy. What's in it? I didn't hear about this. So
the short of it is this. It's this huge leak. It's confidential documentation and code. All right. So there's some code in here. Mm. Here's the big stuff. I'll give you the exact description. Giga leak. Yes. Giga leak is made up of multiple drops of information stemming primarily from two posts on 4chan. Of course, everything goes there. The posts each contain gigabytes worth of files and documentation from internal projects at Nintendo. The first set of files contain primary data from the SNES era projects, and the second included information from the N64 era. The leaks include, among other elements, source code for games like The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64, and more, as well as entirely unknown games and canceled projects.
Cool.
All the rumors that Luigi was in somewhere in N64, the N64 Mario confirmed. 64 game is confirmed. He was in there.
Wow.
There are sprites from Super Mario World where Luigi's giving people the bird.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find that, actually.
Where there's an old Yoshi sprite. If you click the link on the Google Sheet, there's some down there.
Wow, the ROM scene is going to go nuts.
Yeah.
Because people are going to find the old game, put in all the missing assets, and mod them into, like, you know, it could be something that could be done, right? Like, and people love Nintendo stuff, cultish enough about it to actually want to do something like
that. Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
And people will dig and dig and dig, and they're still finding stuff, so this isn't, they're not done. Let me see if I can find that video of Luigi walking around. Oh, I lost it.
There's some awesome sprite work for Legend of Zelda that looks incredible.
Mm-hmm. There was some Pokemon we've never seen.
The game that never came out, I should.
All right. There's some there's Pokemon characters or actual Pokemon that have never been named or released or done anything with.
Is this like publicly available, the download?
Oh, I'm sure it is now. It's probably spread everywhere.
Like, now that it's spread everywhere, is there on the Reddit? I mean,
there's, let's see.
Well, I can look at a news article, but I'm like, oh, I'll look at the stuff directly.
I don't know if this ends up, it's just, okay, look at this. This is interesting. Fans have been calling for a Pokemon MMO for years, to the point that where the makers of Temtem just ended up making one themselves, which is that one that came out a few months ago. Anyways, files in the leak suggest that IQ, a Chinese support company co-founded by Nintendo, worked on a prototype for a Pokemon game that could or that would be playable by connecting a Game Boy Advance to a PC. Offline, the game would allow players to catch around 30 Pokemon in a game based on the Fire Red and Leaf Green installments. If you connected to the PC and you would go onto an online world and add a hatch system that used multiple conditions to determine Pokemon eggs and where they would appear, featured weather based on the region you were in and where you were connecting from, online battle tournaments based on Pokemon Colosseum's code, and more. That never happened. Also, that's just weird, isn't it? Weird.
Yeah. I also put a link to another tweet I saw because I'm just perusing a Vice article here. This guy's like, WTF, I haven't seen this tool I made for Star Fox 2 for almost 30 years. I wrote it in early C++ to teach myself the language more than anything else.
Oh, wow.
Where the hell have hackers got all this obscure data from? Wow. And it's like, it's the software is called Star Fox CAD tool. 1994, Dylan Cuthbert. And it looks of the era. It's crazy.
Yep. There's a lot of stuff like that.
This stuff is super cool. Like you said, Scott, pretty massive breach. Nintendo can't be happy. Scott's still here?
I'm here. Yeah.
He's frozen.
Do you not see
video.
Me? Oh,
did I do something wrong?
Oh, you guys are all frozen on video. Do you guys hear me? Do you guys not hear
moving.
Me?
Hold on. Oh, we're back. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, there he is.
Did you get all that? I was reading that tweet.
You guys froze as well, and you couldn't hear me talking?
No, we could hear each other, but we couldn't hear you.
There was no...
You were froze on Zoom and Discord.
Yeah, so and you guys
separate
were...
softwares.
And you guys were frozen on Zoom. Oh, it looks like my internet maybe is being froze. I'll do that in the post. One of my favorite things on here was this Mario Kart 64, although they called it Super Mario Kart R Alpha Source. It's kind of interesting. They started with some of the Super Mario source and assets from the 8-bit game, but then put this 3D 64 bullshit in here. So this is like probably way before the finished game, but it's just a weird looking thing. I'm going to see if I can share this with you guys so you can see it.
Yeah.
Just describing it is dumb. Hold on. Okay. Look how ugly this is. Look at that. Is that just the ugliest thing? It's so ugly.
It looks great. It looks amazing.
I mean, that would have been, an odd... I mean, that's what prototypes are. You guys, I've seen the Hearthstone prototype. It was just gnarly looking. So every game kind of starts this way, but... anyway, there's all kinds of stuff. Check this one out. There's a scrapped BS Zelda 2 remake. I don't know what BS means.
BS. Best.
Best. Bernie Sanders. Belt Sander. Ball belt sucker. Sanders. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, Belt Sander is a thing.
Anyway, there's talk of a Zelda 3 game with a bunch of... they have a bunch of sprites for that. That was never made. That would have been SNES, I assume. Let's see. There was a Pilot Wings prototype in the air called Dragonfly, but that ended up becoming Pilot Wings. Like, it's pretty fascinating. Yoshi used to look like a real dinosaur.
Yeah, Yoshi was messed up, man. Yeah,
it's really messed up.
And the Mario used to just full on punch him. No question about it.
Oh, really?
You know, there's always that debate, is Mario punching Yoshi in the back of his head to make him stick out his tongue?
Yeah.
But old Yoshi, giggly Yoshi?
Yeah.
Friggin', he's getting punched hard in the back of the head.
That's great. Confirmed, finally.
Yeah.
Anyway, all kinds of stuff in here. They found an unused... John was talking about it. They found an unused sprite of Luigi giving the middle finger in Super Mario World prototype. So that never got used, obviously, but...
They probably had internal jokes or something. What goes on.
Yeah.
What they're like, oh, no, they're going to find the sex editions of our games that we never published that were just for internal use only. Because it's Japan, right?
Right.
So, you know.
They got all kinds of dirty business to show off. I mean, the way I look at it is this, and John alluded to it as well. as fun as this is, and as deep as it goes, and as interesting as it is, as longtime Nintendo fans, this is like huge breach of security, like massive, and probably Nintendo's probably lucky that it's just these around these two platforms and the games that came for it or didn't come out for it, and not like new stuff or plans for their next platform or, you know, Switch plans or any of that stuff, because that really messes with your modern business sense. So I don't know. I'm kind of torn on it. On the one hand, I feel like we have a treasure trove to dig through. And on the other hand, I'm sort of like, meh.
Nah, Nintendo will live, you know, F them if they're feeling bad or it's a huge breach or whatever. This is a win for them.
You think
like,
so?
If they're all flustered, this is a win. Like, everyone's loving the nostalgia. There's no Nintendo museum to go visit as far as I know. Whereas, you know, there's a Disneyland. If you're really into Disney, you can see all the behind the scenes stuff of your favorite filmmakers, and Nintendo's huge. This is like, it's like having a museum open.
Well,
in a weird way.
If they're anything like they were when streaming hit and then people wanted to stream Nintendo games, Nintendo's just weird. Like, they saw that as a huge threat and they were shutting people down left and right. They still get weird about it.
They have a culture probably of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, I think the Disney comparison is pretty apt, because I think, much like Disney, you go there and you see these amazing historic pictures where they have digitally removed the cigarettes from Walt Disney's hands. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Nintendo strikes me as a company that very much wants to preserve that history and show it on their terms, a very curated version of their history.
Yeah.
And Luigi flipping people the bird is probably, we find it endearing, but internally they probably are like, we can't be associated with this. This is awful.
Yeah.
But honestly, yeah. I like it. Warts and all, I want to see it. This stuff is incredible.
You don't think there's any Harry Carey going on at the office?
No, tonight. maybe they leaked it.
Oh, Nintendo leaked it? I don't know, maybe. But that's kind of... A little bit of that again.
Well, if you hired the right consultant and they said, you know, this would be better, like, you can bang pots and pans on one hand looking like your neighborhood friendly video game company for moms and dads, but and then still release this stuff and go, oh, it got loose, we're so upset, oh my god, endearing materials, you know, like it's a victory for them whether or not they like it. It's good for them whether or not they admit it. And people love the secret stories of the people behind Disney as well. And not just, you know, there's books and all kinds of material. People love that stuff. It's part of the legend. And you're right, because their mandate makes them behave in a certain way. This is the best way to get that information out there, is to... You know what? I'm convinced that this is actually what's happened.
Could be. I mean, it's not like they're struggling, though. It's not like they're struggling.
Get Bo a shirt that says GigaLeak was an inside job.
I just don't think Nintendo's not a company they're not struggling right now. They're not having a hard time making ends meet. Nintendo's at a real high point, so I don't know how this would benefit them in that way. That's the only reason I'd question that. If this was during the Wii U or something and they needed some press, I guess,
well,
I'd buy that.
Here's where you change your tune. When they re-release Mario 64 and it's got Luigi in it.
Holy shit.
Booyakasha.
Hold on. That deserves...
Like, they kind of already did that with the DS version.
Yeah, you're right. They kind of did. I don't know, man. I really like it. I also really dislike 4chan. So it gives me a little gas that that's where it happened. A lot of bad shit comes out of 4chan. So I don't know. It is interesting, though. And if you want to go check out a lot of it and you're a Nintendo fan, you probably should, because it is definitely interesting. All right. Now this. We're going to talk about games we've been playing this week. John and I mentioned Carrion. John, I think I'll throw it to you on this, because I got not super far, but far enough. Before you do it at all, I just want to say I think the game would be 1,000 times better. I already think it's very cool and good. But I think it would be better if it had a map. Now, I know that's weird. Maybe lore-wise it's weird, but I really wish it had a map. So anyway, your take on Carrion.
I like it, but I'm lost right now, and I don't know where to go. I can't figure out what to do next.
Yeah,
I just keep going from room to room. The problem is I got going in that game, and I didn't know what kind of game it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of, I feel like I tore off. They gave me a bunch of directions I could go, and I just sort of tore off down the first... you know, there were people and I chased them. Monster's going to get you. And then I fell down a pipe and then I was in a new place. And then I went through a hole and I was in another new place. And now I'm lost. I feel like I've cleared a lot of areas. I've made a lot of good progress. I can break through wood now.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. But I don't know where to go. I just keep going in a loop. All the people are dead. And I'm just lost in the game. So I'm going to 100% support your, there should probably be a map.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of just a roar button, maybe we can do that echolocation and it brings up a gross spongy map or something. Like, I don't care how you do it, but I haven't played that game again because I don't know where to go.
Yeah. The concept of you being this gelatinous, horrific space horror creature.
You're a gibbering mother, basically.
Yeah, kind of. And you move around like freaking Spider-Man on steroids. It's like Venom or something.
Mm.
It's very cool. And I love the look of it and the feel of it. And the gore is great. You eat these people, guards, scientists, whatever, to regenerate your life because they can shoot you and hurt you. So you got to, you know, eat them to get points back if you've been hit.
Surprisingly hurt you.
Yeah, they hurt you pretty good with their guns.
Like, one shot me with a bullet and I was like, pitiful human. And they shot me two more times. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm almost dead. I was this giant flesh monster.
Yeah.
And turns out four bullets about does it. So
the movement is so satisfying. It feels so good to move around the game world, unless you're in a loop like you're talking about where you don't know where to go. I think it because it's basically it's a kind of Metroidvania in a, you know, like literally that's what this game is. It would fit in that genre. So thematically it's weird and all that, but at the end of the day, it is one of those. And the hallmark of one of those is some kind of map. So you know where the hell you are and where you want to kind of go. And okay, I've been to this area. I got to get to this zone or whatever. This game does not have a map, and it's really frustrating when you get stuck somewhere. I think I'm kind of stuck somewhere too. We may even be in the same place. I'm not sure.
Can you break through wood?
Yeah. I can break through wood now.
I think we might be stuck at the same spot then. Because I'm not far past that. I opened up another one of those little vents where you slowly take it over and then it opens up. And I went through and I killed some people and now I don't know where to go. There's a weird elevator that I think I have to move, but I don't know how to move it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The game is cool. It reminds me a lot of, there was a game called Inside, I believe. Which had a part, spoilers for Inside, which had a part a lot like this. And it was the coolest part of that game. Inside is a bit of a sensitive subject for me. I think it's one of the worst games I've ever played in my life.
Jeez. Mm.
Simply because of its attitude. It's a game that was obnoxiously like, look at me, I'm an indie game. Mm-hmm. It just felt fake through the whole time.
Mm.
Like, it just felt like, hey, look at this game. It's by the people who made Limbo and were indie. And then you play it a little bit more and it's like, isn't this atmospheric and cool? We're an indie game.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, isn't this creepy? It's an indie game. And it was like 2 hours long and I beat it and I returned it immediately. It just felt like there's too many nudges about like, hey, we're a cool indie game, right? And I just hated it.
I think that is so funny.
The entire experience. This is very similar to that gameplay and feel wise, but it's not giving me that vibe. So I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I think there's no pretension here. This is just them. I mean, this is a Devolver Digital release. This was part of their big presentation. We knew it was being made, but they've really started showing it off during their thing a week or two ago. And now it's out and I think it's very cool. I just think the map would make it one of my favorite things I'd be playing right now. Like, yeah. I just need,
I think they're trying it with the echolocation, but I don't understand what the scraggly lines mean.
Yeah. It's
they pop up, but I don't know what it means. They're like, it points to the little mouth holes you can go in. Yeah. The little like, hey, there's a wall vagina in this direction. And you're like, well, that's great, but I've already been in it. And I don't know, like, you're just showing me the places I've been.
You really derailed my attention with wall vagina.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about his wall vaginas.
I've already been in that wall vagina, you say to yourself.
I need only new.
I'm going to tell the Canadian government to not only recommend glory holes to its citizens, yeah, but also wall vaginas.
Yeah, wall vaginas should be in every
home. That really happened, by the way. Did we talk about that?
Yeah, yeah. The glory holes.
Oh,
thing?
Wait, no,
yeah,
we didn't. We just tweeted about it.
Oh, I thought we were. Oh, okay.
I think every one of us tweeted about
it. My government has suggested to me for safe sex practice during the COVID pandemic to use things like a glory hole would be a great and appropriate thing to do.
What, like into your in your house? Like, in your,
if you're having sex and you know you want to be safe, and glory hole is a great way to keep COVID away from you.
Wow,
it's real. It's a real thing. And then they doubled down on it when everyone was laughing about it. The government was like, "Yep, yeah, that's what we meant. Glory hole is clearly a safer scenario for COVID transmission."
They're like, "Hey, you make fun of us all you want. It's factual information for you, okay?
Scientifically proven to slow the spread of COVID-19, yep. I guess.
Glory holes, get it.
Well, this game is rad, and it just needs a map. That's really my only complaint. And if they put a map in there, great. That's a cool update. If they tell me more about how that stupid sonar system's supposed to work, great. I'll do that too. But I feel like it's just a little hamstring by that, which otherwise I think tonally it's very cool. It's actually kind of scary. Like, I don't know. It has kind of a, you remember Flashback? It has that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's just cool. It's a very cool idea. I like Devolver Digital's video games. I'll put that out there.
Do you know if it's on Game Pass?
Yes. That's where we got it.
Oh,
yeah. You can just go play it.
Game Pass, you guys. I'm so going to play tons of video games.
Yeah. I mean, this is a game I was interested in, but wasn't going to buy outright until I talked to some people. And then I saw it was on Game Pass. I'm like, well, I have no excuse. Let's just play it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Damn.
It was great.
Game Pass is great.
It is great. Shipbreaker. I'm still playing that. Having lots of fun. I've finally gotten into a groove of kind of, it's almost like a build order. It's like an unbuild order. Like I know what I want to do first with most ships, although sometimes the hazards are a certain thing and I got to be careful, but I've learned a lot about how that game is meant to flow. And right now it just feels like butter. I love it. I love it. Shipbreaker is so good.
That's 3 weeks. Shipbreaker on the agenda for
it's,
the show.
It's my
you really like this game.
It's
this
my go-to big chill game. Like if I just need to go and get away and escape into some escapism, it's just great for that. But you know what? It's also great for, what did I have on TNG episodes running in the background? It's just a chill experience. And ever since they moved made the timers optional, now I can just kind of do it at my own pace. I don't have to feel stressed. Although, you know, the minute you pull the reactor out of the ship, you have to get it to where it needs to be disposed of quick. You're going to blow you and everybody else up with it. So there's some stressful moments like that. But for the most part, it's just like, I'm going to take the ship apart and make a shitload of money. It's just great. Freaking love that game. All right. Celeste is on the Switch for $4.99. I just wanted to tell people that because that game's so good, I bought it again and put it on the Switch. Now I'm playing that again in bed at night because Celeste is great. If you never played it, then you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's from the Towerfall people. It is a single player game where it's like Meat Boy meets, it's like a more artistic Meat Boy. Let's put it that way.
It's not Meat Boy. It's a Meat the Boy.
Meat the Boy. Yeah. Yeah. Fancy meatballs. It's like I don't know how to explain it, but it's like a more elegant. It's got some story.
What's it called?
Celeste. Celeste is the mountain you're on. That's the name of the mountain. So your character's not called Celeste. But it's a very hard platformer. Every screen feels a little bit like, how am I going to get through the screen? And when you figure it out, incredibly satisfying. It's a very cool game. It's a couple of years old, year and a half old, whatever it is. So this is old news that it's a good game, but the fact that it's on sale for $5 on Switch was just like a no brainer. So I bought it. And then I just wanted to make a note of this. This is a game I've talked about forever ago, so don't need to say much here, but Meteor Fall Crummet's Tale is out of early access and is very good. It's on Steam. It's coming to mobile. They're in the finishing stages of testing on mobile. I'm currently on their test flight program, whatever it's called. And it's just a great little deck buildy roguelike thing. If you ever played Meteor Fall, their first game, it's a lot like that, but more complex. It's a very cool game worth checking out. Meteor Fall Crummet's Tale. John, tell us about you coming late but great to Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, so Super Mario Odyssey is one of the games I bought when I got my Switch Lite, along with Animal Crossing. And I played a little bit of it and kind of fell off of it and was like, yeah, it's yeah, there's Mario. He's doing his thing. Got a wacky hat. Mm-hmm. Fun times.
Definitely.
And didn't play it. And so the other day I decided to cave and I purchased Paper Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And I then was hit with a bout of the rumbly tums.
Oh.
And had to go visit the bathroom. And I was like, well, I got to bring something with me. This is going to be an adventure. I need my Switch. And it had not finished downloading Paper Mario yet. So I couldn't start it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't really want to play Animal Crossing. I got the Switch Lite in here. I'm already committed to being this is a journey.
Yeah.
I'll play a little more Super Mario Odyssey. So I started playing more of that. And that game suddenly clicked for me.
Yeah.
The flow and going to different lands and all of that. And that game's really good.
It's very good.
As it turns out, weird, yeah. Nintendo made an amazing Mario game, but it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And I'm having a lot of fun. I'm up to the food land.
Yeah. Oh, food land's hard, if I remember right. There's some moments. Yeah.
There's molten candy of some kind. There's giant corn.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like is in a lot of stages, there's always a lady Goomba that wants to get with a Goomba. And you got to stack Goombas to get with her.
Yeah, you do.
And then it's but like where the Goombas are never convenient. So it's like not only do I have to go round up a stack of Goombas. But then I got to walk them across the freaking corn and then up the hill. And then there's Lady Goomba to get all smitten with them.
Yeah,
it's fine. But that game's great. That game is a ton of fun. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
And I'm having a great time with it.
Yeah, it's top shelf stuff. It's very, very good. And I never even cleared a lot of I was on a mission once to get every single not star. What are they in this one? Moons.
Yeah.
I was going to get all of them and there's so many, I didn't ever do it, but I beat the game and loved every second of it. You're going to really love your time in that game.
There's a lot of moons.
Yeah. Tons of moons. They're hidden all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, stars in Mario 64 felt like an event when you got them. It's like, here's a little puzzle, go get your stars. It's a thing.
Yep.
In this, it's like, did you run through a bush? Yeah. Oh, here's a moon.
Yeah, the moons are plentiful. Well, it's partly because it's almost a currency in the game. It quite literally is a currency in the game because you can spend moons on stuff. But
also having a lot of fun with the costumes. Yeah. I did run a boxer short Mario through the snow world and thought it was hilarious the entire time.
He has nipples.
I was like, yeah, he's got little nipples and he's freezing. He's like going, he's just in his boxer shorts in a big mountain of snow, and it was just super fun, and what a good time that was.
Yeah, him and his nipples, never forget. He has no penis though, I heard, is the rumor. Let's see, what else did you play? Sea of Thieves. Oh, so Sea of Thieves, which is of course Game Pass if we wanted it, is it the game that we've all been missing out on and we should be playing as a group, or is it fine that we haven't been playing that game?
It's a game that is definitely going to be better with a group. Yeah. By yourself, it's a little daunting, and I think it loses a little bit of the fun. I think this game would be a great game to get in and hang out in.
Mm.
I don't know if the loop, like honestly, with the amount of money that they dropped me in the game world with, I made my pirate. I went to the shop. I was able to make my pirate look pretty much how I want my pirate to look.
Mm.
And I felt pretty good about my life. And I was like, well, I spent all my pirate money and I don't want for anything. So I didn't really feel that call to adventure immediately. But it seems like there's so much fun things in there to do with your friends. I mean, you can play sea shanties and you can pick which ones you want. Like Happy Birthday is literally one of them. So if you're hanging with your friend on their birthday and you're like, let's get in Sea of Thieves, you can sit there with your little accordion and go, Happy Birthday to you. And you can just play the little sea shanty for them.
Wow.
it just seems fun. It seems like kind of mindless, dumb fun. And if you can get on comms with friends, it seems like it would be really great.
Still the best looking water, in video games right now.
Oh yeah. And that was the big thing, is I was just in the mood for a sailing game. Yeah. I just wanted to be out on the ocean, sailing around, doing
sailing
stuff.
Take me.
That's
away.
What I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it did it. But the whole time I was there, I was like, boy, this would be easier if I didn't have to do every job myself. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm like, oh, there's the island. Okay, I got to turn. I got to run over here. We got to lower this and we got to go do this. So I got to go drop the anchor. Okay, we got to go do that. It was a lot. There's a lot to take on by yourself. And the whole time that I was doing it, I was like, boy, I just really wish I had my friends here to goof around on this boat.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably, and obviously it's made that way. It'd be cool maybe if you could do some AI things if you were alone, instead of having to run around and do everything yourself. But
yeah,
I have some friends that swear by this.
There are different size boats to help for groups. There's a boat that's designed more for four people, and there's a boat designed for two.
Yeah.
And so the two-person boat can be manned pretty much by yourself if you want. But it's a neat game. It's a beautiful game. Yeah. I mean, I walked out on the dock, and it was kind of sunset, and I looked out over the ocean, and you just see clouds and rain going across the ocean. I was just like, oh my gosh, I want to live here right now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It just... Immediately, I wanted to be in that world so badly. And part of that could be because it just doesn't rain where I live anymore. And I was just happy to see rain. I was like, oh, rain does fall from the sky still. That's amazing.
Yeah. That that water has no right to look as good as it does. It's crazy to me. Like
it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's insane how good the water looks. I'm just like flying on a ship looking down and just going, wow, water.
Yeah, it's water tech. It's water tech's new high watermark, honestly. Yeah. Like how any other video game makes water look better than this? I feel like we've maxed. This is it. Like, that's as good as you get. That's Pixar water is what you're looking at.
It's real pretty. That whole game is real pretty in a very stylized way. I'm not going to say that us not playing it is us missing out on the greatest adventure of all time. But do I think if we all got into it, we would have a lot of fun and have a great time? I absolutely think that's true.
Yeah.
Let's make a date, you guys.
We should. It's on Game Pass. Let's just do it. Why don't we play this game?
Yeah. I'll sign up. I'll figure out how to sign up for Game Pass, and I'll let you know. And then we'll make a play date out of playing Sea of Thieves.
Okay. I'm in.
Sea of Thieves.
Thieves.
Or something. Not No Man's Sky. We got it. We got to do it.
Yeah. Guys. We'll play something. All right. Sea of Thieves. Good call. Bo, play anything this week?
No, I've still.
That's why you're so excited about all these games. You've been hardcore not playing any of them.
Did I talk about my experience with Doom Eternal recently?
No. What'd you do?
Well, I've been, you know, it's been 6 weeks now. I've been detoxing from video games, not from screens. Mm-hmm. I have something cool to tell you in just a second, though. Okay. But there was a period, you know, like I haven't played games for a while, so I've been taking a break. And then there was one Wednesday, I'm like, oh, I kind of just want to play Doom Eternal. I think it was after one of our shows where we talked a lot about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I booted it up, and I played for a total of 30 minutes. And I was like really excited to start playing, and I'm like, oh, this is so intense. I haven't been in this game in a while. I haven't played a game in a while. It's going to be great. I load up the first mission.
Mm-hmm.
And as the mission went on, I was like, like by the end of the first level, I was so strung out. I was like, oh my god, I feel so stimulated right now.
It's weird.
And I'm just like, aah! Like it was so scary, and I was so tense. I had to turn it off. I'm like, I can't keep playing this.
Wow.
So it's I mean, I still love the game to death, but I was very shocked to find that taking like 4 weeks off of a video game like that, like as intense as Doom Eternal is, and then playing it again was quite the experience. I was like, I don't get stressed out like this by Doom Eternal. It was fun.
I wonder if you'd have a similar experience if you played like a competitive Heroes match. Would you feel, you know, like those same feelings of like, whoa, I haven't had this.
Yeah, I should log in and grab a few games. I've been meaning to, actually. So
I'd be curious how that would end for you, or how it would feel, if it would feel any different.
I think Doom Eternal is more stressful than...
Yeah.
Like, there's a pressure to constantly move in that game.
Yeah.
Like, that's the game that's by design. Like, you always need to be doing something. So it really engages you on that level. And Heroes, like, there are times where you're like, you definitely always need to be acting in a team fight. But it can be more casual when during laning or during when you're dead or, you know, so I don't think it'd be as bad, but I don't know.
Well,
but yeah, I'm kind of resolving. I think I might pick up the Xbox Games Pass because I do kind of want to bring a game to the show.
Yeah.
And I'm not quitting games completely. So, finding a game we can all play together or picking something small and bite sized that I can play a little bit and talk about it. Like Carry On sounds awesome.
It's cool.
It might be something I do in the coming weeks.
That's a cool game, and I'll bet you beat it. And I don't think it's very long. I think you could probably beat it quickly and not feel like you've spent way too much time in a game.
But I do have one cool thing, and it's part of, well, it's part of a larger conversation that we can have another time. I don't think it's for this show potentially, but I did discover a weird fact, or it's not, I don't think it's known. It might be so obvious that we know that maybe we know it, but anyways, there's this interview with this neuroscientist that I watched recently, and then I watched a few other interviews that he did, and he's basically the guy, he's a guy working on being able to restore sight to the blind. And he's saying that through his the work of his team of scientists, that they've discovered that the eye, your eyes that you have, are not connected to your brain. They are your brain.
It's not even a conspiracy theory.
It's like science that's being worked on. And that's incredible, man. So we kind of tend to think all this stuff is just, you know, the outside exterior, and including the eyes. It's just some tool we use to get the brain messages.
Yeah.
But they've learned that over time, the eyes have punched through, you know, the skull, or evolved through the skull. And that's part of our brain that sticks out.
Well, it makes sense. So, the nerve end, or the optic nerves, go directly to the brain. Like, it's just,
and
like,
it's like a little thing, but I tried Googling it. I'm like, no, this seems like a relatively new idea. It's very, very new idea. And I find it mind blowing sort of philosophically. So, when you think about playing video games or watching TV or screens, and how that might be impacting people, like our phones and all that kind of stuff, you know, alcohol, cigarettes, coffee, marijuana, you name it. They all are chemicals that enter into your brain and affect it. Well, now the types of light that we shoot into it also needs like a rethink, or it's just a reevaluation. It's very cool. And so that's where like my head is at right now.
But nobody's saying nobody's saying your eyes are your brain, because then what do you say about blind people? They're functioning and doing all sorts of stuff without.
Well, that part of their brain has dysfunction.
Yeah, yeah. So if, you could say part of it, but no, I don't think anybody's saying your entire brain is in your eyeballs. I mean, that's not what you're saying.
It's part of it, right? Like it's tails or something, or not tails. It pushed out. Like your brain is also your nervous system running through your body too, right?
Right.
So that whole nerve brain system is part of it. And your eyes aren't a separate thing. Like your nerves will tell your meaty bony hand to move up and down. Like my brain right now is sending signals to my arm to move it.
Yeah.
But the signals aren't being sent to the eye in any, you know, it's just neural activity right to the eye.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I do normally when I move and I don't see it.
I was wondering. I thought you got attacked by a bee.
No. Like what? Someone's going to come out and go, your testicles are connected to your butthole. So really, your balls are your butthole. Someone's going to tell me that.
I mean, we're giant meat bag. We're all an organism, you know, like.
So I highly encourage, if you hear this and you're intrigued by it, Google some videos by Dr. Andrew Luberman, L-U-B-E-R-M-A-N, and investigate it for yourself.
Daniel.
It's cool. It's cutting edge shit.
Daniel Lieberman. Nope. Daniel Luberman. Nope. Oh,
Andrew.
I don't know where I got Andrew or Daniel from.
I think it's Andrew Luberman. Andrew Luberman.
All right.
He's been kind of, Huberman. Oh, it's Huberman. Sorry. H-B-E-R. I don't know why I said Luberman. I was thinking of lube, baby.
You were thinking with your eyes there. So that was the part of the brain you were using. Let's see.
Lube.
Andrew Anyways. D. Huberman.
Yeah.
American neuroscientist. Okay, interesting.
I go to the Wikipedia page. He's a scientist. He's not a pop dude. He's an actual, you know, person who works in this. And
he's got a podcast, though, called Dr. Andrew. Look at that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I saw an interview with him, and then I watched a couple more, and I'm like, wow, this is it's fascinating to me right now. And it's from video games through addiction, and then through an interest in neuroscience and psychology that I've found that I'm studying up, as it were. Shout out to the listener. I can't remember the name, Daniel, who had corrected me about Rat Park. By the way, I brought it up a few weeks ago. That wasn't a verified experiment. So I'm learning to think a little more critically on this subject, and certainly people help me out with that. It's great. But that fact that the eye is your brain, just like, it's too good not to tell people, in my opinion. I'm just like, whoa, it's mind blowing to me.
Listen to what he says here. I got an Instagram thing. Let me play this. Let's see what he says.
Now, when it comes to the blue light issue, this is especially salient. So here's the idea. So the light, getting bright light in the middle of the night from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. triggers these pro-depressive circuits through the habenula, this H-A-B-E-N-U-L-A, this interesting structure in the thalamus. In addition to that, it's known to trigger a pathway from the habenula to the pancreas that can start altering some blood sugar rhythms. A lot of people don't know this, but the habenula connects to the pancreas, and actually in type 2 diabetes, and in particular smoking-induced type 2 diabetes, it appears that the habenula-pancreas pathway is involved. There's a beautiful paper published in
the I'm screwed then, because that's what I got. I'm off the sug for that reason. Maybe it's because I'm up watching blue night lights all night. Anyway, I'll look into him. He sounds interesting.
Seriously, look into it. He's he's an interesting person to listen to. And now that I've played video games less, I find that like one of my favorite things on YouTube right now are science demonstrations. Like you know, they talk about like Tesla would come and show off his stuff, and there's movies. You know, I think David Bowie in that magician movie he did with Bale and Hackman. No.
Oh,
the prestige. I'll just say that. And Michael Caine, Hugh Jackman, not Hackman. I don't know why I called him Hackman. But you know that there's a scene where Tesla's like, I think, doing a demonstration or it's somehow involved, right? Like that kind of thing. They're up on YouTube for free. Just look up science demonstrations.
Oh, I forgot that was David Bowie. He was even in that. That's a great reminder.
But they're you can find them now, and I'm like, oh man, these are great. They're just like, this is how this changes. Kaboom! Like, I think one of the guys puts ice into a trash can or nitrogen into a trash can, and it expands so much that it just makes a thunderous kaboom. It's really neat. Anyways, I'll stop. But
well, I'm gonna start wearing my blue light glasses now.
Is where it's at.
Look, I've got right over here. I got some blue light glasses that block them, and a package of dried squid. Would you guys like some dried squid? Any interest in that? It's very good.
I'm hungry, but I don't know if that's what.
Listen,
do you want the rest of my steak? I haven't finished yet here.
You got a salad and a steak, and you're look at you eating like a king.
It's eating healthy, take care of the computer that matters the most.
There you go.
This
gamer up here. You got to watch out. All right. Awesome. Well, check this out, everyone. There's a thing here.
That's a good question.
Question in the form of an email. This came to us from Trevor Collins, who says this. Yakuza Games and Scott and Bo's trepidation. The message is this. Saying that Yakuza is a GTA-type game is a giant disservice to Yakuza. I assume he means the game series, not the underground crime organization.
Yeah, they're very upset. They're like, please don't compare us to GTA.
Yeah, that would be bad. I recently played Kiwami, which is the remake of the original. It is far better than any GTA game. They are more fun. The story is phenomenal, and I advise not reading spoilers. The glowing dildo Bo pointed out, I think, is a weapon called the Blackjack. Also, most of the wackiness is relegated to side stories and aren't big parts of the main story, but they can be fun or not, but you don't have to do them. I'm more and more curious about playing that first Yakuza remake thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm interested in getting into that because, like I say, there's something about those games that draw me, but I don't know. And that turn-based thing looks interesting.
Zero. We should play Yakuza Zero.
Is that what this Kiwami thing is?
No, Kiwami's a remake of one.
And what's Zero?
It's like the prequel.
My understanding is the prequel was the last game they made in the series before they started remaking them.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. So you play prequel, which is the latest entry, and then you play remake one and remake two, which I think is what they're up to.
All right. So Zero is the one to start with.
Yeah. It also takes place in the 80s, which that's fun.
Okay.
And Yeah, it's good.
I want
it's
to.
It's got wackiness.
I'm into the whack. Oh, it's enjoying overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam. $20 is all. Wait, is this on Game Pass?
Is this on Xbox Game Pass?
Maybe it's on Game Pass. We should find out if that's on Game Pass.
I don't know if chat room's trolling us, but someone in chat room said, "Isn't it on Game Pass right now?" So
maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to look right now. Hang on.
Xbox.
It's easy enough to find.
Play Minecraft Dungeons for $1. No, thank you.
I played that. It's not. It sucks. Yeah. It's not that game. It could have been a lot more than it was.
It is on Game Pass.
Are you kidding?
Call it right now.
Are you serious?
Oh my God.
Yes, you absolutely can. Yeah.
Well, then Phil I'm Spencer. Playing that.
Yakuza 0 for Windows 10, right there. Oh,
the whole shebang's here. The whole shebang. It's Zero, Kiwami, and Kiwami 2. That's you play those and you're up to date, and you didn't play the old ones, but just the remakes.
You've got to be kidding me. That's so funny. How is that? Can I just make up any game in my head right now and it'll just suddenly be here?
I don't know. Pick a game.
Oh my gosh, Bo, if you're going to play...
Love Esquire, is it on here?
If you're gonna be on Game Pass, Bo, again, there's a game on here called Nowhere Prophet, which I currently have on Steam.
I saw that. I looked at it and I'm like, that's a game Scott would tell me to play.
It's a good game, dude. It's super chill too. It's like a combination of FTL. God, yes. It's like Slay the Spire.
I can't play games.
I know. But it's like Slay the Spire and FTL got it on in the backseat of a car and they made a baby called Nowhere Prophet. It's very good. Very good.
Oh, damn.
Look at all these things. Forager, I always wanted to try that out. I cannot believe you.
Kiwami 2 just got added. So I wonder if that was all, if they were all added together at the same time.
I feel like this should have been bigger news. I think that's the only problem with Game Pass right now is like when Netflix has a new thing coming, even if it's something old, they're like, you'll never believe it. Cheers is coming to Netflix. Get your Cheers, rewatch it. You know, and everyone's like, woo. Mm-hmm. So they need to do that.
They need to be better at it because I don't know. I didn't know any of this.
Because I've been eyeballing Yakuza for, and it's like, something there.
No, you've
now
been.
Now try it.
Bo, you've been brainballing Yakuza for a long time.
I've been brainballing. Oh, that's right. I've been brainballing.
Yeah.
What kind of expressions can we change for eyes of brain? Like,
For your brain only.
Brain of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight.
It's the thing when you poke it in the thing, right?
What about beauty is in the brain of the beholder?
She's got Betty. Oh, he's a real, no.
Oh man,
this is good.
Oh, man, that guy's pants fell off, and boy, oh boy, that was a real brain.
See, there you go. And also, there's she's got Betty Davis's brain instead of eyes. See, you can do all sorts of stuff.
I think she's cheating on me. I need to hire a private brain to find.
There
out.
You go. Private brain.
I spy with my little brain. Oh. Oops.
No, it'd be brain spy with my little brain. Oh, no, that's not the right eye. Yeah, the eye, like the singular eye, is not in this conversation. I'm not thinking
oh
right.
Oh, my God. That was the best.
Anyway.
You win.
I'm going to play that. I think I'm going to stream it. I'll start with Zero, then Kiwami 1, then 2.
Oh, I got to see this.
Who needs a console when you can play Yakuza stream?
It'll be the opposite kind of horror for you because, like, real horror scares you and you scream. Now it's going to be you like, oh, no, they did the old man thing.
Yeah, they're going to do all that shit. They're going to do those things that make my eyes roll. But there's something about the Yakuza games doing that I'm actually drawn to. It's way less anime
for me. It
looks
like a badass Japanese movie a little bit, right? Like, you're like, I would watch this movie about Yakuza people being Yakuza,
Yeah.
We should all play Zero. See how everybody feels about
like a book club? I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
Book all club, right. Yakuza Zero.
All right. Yakuza Zero. Handshake. Vigil handshake.
No, just play it as much as you want, as much or as little as you want. And
No pressure. I've got, problems to work through, but I'm definitely going to be playing some Yakuza Zero.
The Japanese, you'll make exceptions for the Japanese criminal underground. It's fine. You got this. Oh, yeah. All right. Well,
it's funny. John's magic that he usually does on you is like working for me.
I know.
Like buying Game Pass. Like,
it's because you're more susceptible to it now because you've taken some time off and away. And now John's coming in with his freaking bag full of meth going, And you're just like,
my fault. I was just sitting here while you guys got excited about Yakuza.
This is the part where this is the part of our relationship dynamic where Scott throws John under the bus.
Yep. Yep.
Because John's always like, yeah, Scott.
Yep. That's totally right.
Yeah, like when I say, hey guys, I've got a thing that comes up. You guys should totally do Core without me. Just go ahead and do Core. I can't be there, but you guys should absolutely do a show. And then Scott's like, yeah, we're going to cancel it. Gets on Twitter. John couldn't show up to the show tonight. So
I've never said.
Like, yeah, whatever. It's all good.
I've never said, John can't make it. I've never done it in that tone. Not on purpose. Anyways. Hey, by the way, main story of Yakuza 0, 31 hours. This is a beefy game if that's all you do. If you're a completionist, 139 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Main and extra is 65, but if you really want to get all the extras, you got to go with the full 139. Jeez Louises.
That's a serious game.
Yeah. But people like it, so I'm going to play it. Yeah. All right.
I'm going to, indeed.
That's going to do it for the show. Thank you for that email there, Trevor. And if you'd like to be like Trevor and send us an email, go to the website and click on the contact link. That's at frogpants.com/core. And what else? You can find us on Twitter. We are at Core Show on Twitter. No, we're not. What are we on Twitter? Yeah, we're Core Pod now. Never mind.
Core Pod.
Yeah. Too many names. I should probably consolidate some of this stuff. But anyway, frogpants.com/core will get you everything you're looking for, including a link to our Patreon at patreon.com/core. Your support there makes it possible for us to get Game Pass and play Yakuza games and more. And it means a lot when you guys go there and support us. So thank you so much. There's great rewards. You can learn about them by going to patreon.com/core show. Do it today. That's going to do it for me, for Bo, for John, for all of you. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. You know what to play.